Okay, let's get started here with the teaching. When Matthew, we still in our series, Crazy Faith. We're going to do offering at the end of the teaching, then we'll do communion. So I want to make sure I do that in order the way God told me. So you got your Bible. Let's go to Mark 2. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you that revelation will flow freely, unhindered, unchecked by any outside satanic force. We bind the wicked one, and I release an anointing in this place. I yield my soul, body, and spirit to you. Think through my mind, see through my eyes, hear through my ears, and speak through my mouth that your word be spoken in boldness and accuracy. We thank you for the greater one lives on inside of us, and I release angels in this place according to Psalms 103:20. Excel in strength and hearken to the voice of the word in Jesus' name. Amen. In Mark 2, verse 1, and again, he entered to Capernaum after some days and was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. He preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when he had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their crazy faith, he said unto the sick of Paul's son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, Hebrews 11 and 1 say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, we see here that that faith is the force God uses to change circumstances, We know that that the enemy uses fear. And one of the things we talked about dealing with fear is that fear will change your reality. All right? And so one of the things I talked about was you can't let fear grip you from seeing rim circumstances. All right? Now, that's what happened to the disciples when Jesus was taken to the point where Peter said, I don't know him. So what happened? Fear had gripped him through seeing rim circumstances. Now, remember, Peter said, I'm going to be with you. Even if they do this, I'm going to be with you. And Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan had desire to have you, he may sift you like wheat. Now, he already knew that because fear is a very strange force, but it's a strong force. And once it grips you from seeing rim circumstances, it changes your reality. So that's why we see that 1 Kings 17:9. All right. So let's just go through here because I got some other things I need to put out with you. So, yeah, I do. So now, just awesome. Give me 1 minute. Let me write this down. Now, watch this. If you go down to verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks, might go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said, fear not. Now, this is what I want you to see here. Okay. He said, fear not. Now, why was she fearing? I showed you that her current seen realm conditions is what caused fear to bring another reality. That reality was death. She was preparing to die. Now, it's strange now how fear would cause you to see something that really that you can overcome. It's very strange, all right? She was fearing her condition. So the first thing we see in verse 12, she said, "As the Lord thy God live, I have not a hand, have not a cape, but a handful of meal in the barren, and a little oil in the cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Now, what happened? It affected her words, and it affected how she saw things. Very important what fear does. It affects your words, and it affects what you see. Now, it's very strategic how the enemy uses fear. Because he uses fear to control your tongue. Glory to God. Psalms 45. I want Proverbs 18:20 and Psalms 45. I'm going to read 18:20 first. All right. Man, I wrote something down. Give me a second. Yeah. "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life is in the power of the tongue." All right. "Death and life in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." I'm going to read this in the International Standard Version. "The positive words that a man speaks fills his stomach." So it's positive word fill his stomach. Negative word fill his stomach. All right, now let me look at something here. Folks, let me tell you. We're going to switch back. All right, I'm gonna read. Put up Proverbs 4:24. "Put away from thee a forward mouth, perverse lips put far from thee." So can you put that up in the CEV? I'm just curious to see how that. "Never tell lies or be deceitful in what you say." Put in the message. "Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth." "Avoid careless banter." Okay. Now, watch this. I'm reading this, Proverbs 18:20 in the International Standard Version. "The positive words that a man speaks fills his stomach. He will be satisfied with what his lips produce. The power of the tongue is life and death. Those who love to talk will eat what it produces." So now I am seeing the enemy will use your mouth to plant lies about you. Psalms 45:1, please. Was it 45:1? I think so. "My heart is indicted in a good matter, and I speak of the things which I have made touching the king." Now, I want you to just see this part. "My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." All right? Now, my tongue. Now, let's look at this. "My heart is indicted in a good matter." Let me kind of get to this in my Bible here. There we go. Okay? My heart. So that's a connection between your spirit and your tongue, right? Fear bring a disconnect because you should speak what God speak to your spirit. But now what happened, the enemy uses fear, and fear will cause you to rewrite things. All right, let me just keep going here. Well, now watch this. So I showed you what to change what I see, not outside, but inside of me, okay? I must speak the words to paint on the canvas of my imagination. That's what that was talking about. So now, I showed you that with Pharaoh and Moses, they were not physically fighting. It was the war of words. The war of words. Why? Because words are the most powerful force in the earth when it's released by faith. Words are the most powerful force in the earth when it's released by faith. All right? If you go to Mark 11, Mark the 11th chapter, let's see what make words more powerful. Okay? Let's see what make it more powerful. I'm about to... Man, I want to go with this. Okay, I ain't going to do it. Now, watch this. Look at verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Now, okay, this is the key here. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, how will he have whatsoever he saith? Well, first thing, he's not going to doubt in his heart. And the second thing, he's going to believe what he say. Now, this is the key for faith being released. You're going to have to believe what you say. And not, so, okay. Now, there's that thing then. This is how you develop faith in your words. You got to change your circumstances. You cannot doubt in your heart. You got to believe what you say. And I'm going to add something else, and not what you see. Because a lot of times, the reason why things are not produced because people believe more what they see than what they say. I mean, just think about this thing. They seeing this, even I go back to this coronavirus, that thing is dead. But people believing, they are seeing so much of the report of it, they are believing what they see versus what they say. Now, what happens when you believe what you see versus what you say? You dilute the power of your words. And you'll start speaking what you see versus what you say. Now the enemy know that there's Delta, Proverbs 18, 21. He know that. All right? His words have no meaning. No creative force is in the devil's tongue. He knows that. That's why he got to use a human tongue. His words carry no weight. Yours do. Think about this now. Because if his words carry weight, he'll be saying them himself and you hear them in the earth. And it'll be changing stuff. He used ignorance. It's a human greatest mountain. Hosea 4 and 6, put it up. All right. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they rejected knowledge. So what a person don't know and speak about it, they are, you know, you ever heard of when they say a person speaking through ignorance? They're empowering is what they're doing. Something they don't know about that they can't see clearly. So the more they say something about something else or whatever that they don't know about, the more empowering it becomes in the earth. Now think about it. The enemy just need a mouthpiece because he don't have... That's why he had to influence a person through ignorance. Now, anyway, let me get past that because that's not what I really want. Now, let's go to Exodus 7, 1. I want you to see this. Okay? And the Lord said unto Moses, I have made you a God to Pharaoh. Now, remember I told you that what he mean here also, he made him a God over his words, Lord over Pharaoh words, basically. It's a war of words here. So now, moving in a place of miracles are always dependent on the words of faith you speak and believe. Now, this is what I want to get to today. Moving in a place of miracles always depend on the words of faith that you speak. Okay? Now, words are powerful. Matthew 12:36 is what I want you to see. Can you put that in the message? Let me tell you something. Every one of these, words is going to come back to haunt you. That's Matthew 12:36 in the message. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. This is what I want to build around today. Words are powerful. 1 Kings 17:1, if you put that up real quick, okay? Elijah and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitant of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, according to what? My words. Now, words even affect weather patterns. This is the strength of words. This is the power of words that you believe. He said, according to my words, there's going to be no rain or any dew for 3 years, basically. Now, this is the power of believing what you say and what you believe. Verse 2, watch this. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn eastward and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith that is before Jordan. Go to verse 4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Look at the power of this. Ravens obeying words. Glory to God. Ravens obeying words. So now, when I'm moving in a place of miracles, right? Everything is dependent on what I speak. It have nothing to do with what's in front of me. It have everything to do in what I speak. Most people are programmed to speak the normal things of life. That's why you only have a few, you have a few people who speak, well, I decree ain't gonna be no rain. What, did you see what they said? It gonna be rain. You only have a few people start closing up the heavens. Why? Because the enemy up to this point have programmed people to stay normal, even believers. Ooh, woo. Put up Isaiah 51:16. And I have put my words in your mouth so you can sit there like everybody else. Nope, that ain't what God's saying. I have put my words in your mouth so you can say the coronavirus is more powerful than the word. Nope, God ain't saying that. The world's saying that. The world's saying that. They in fear. And the only thing that can stop what's going on is the church. I don't care what nobody say. I don't want somebody can stop it. Scientists just ain't going to get no answer. They had to be prayed down. Look at this. I have put my words in your mouth and covered, protect you in the shadow of my hand. Why did he say he had to cover you in the shadow of his hand? I want to go further with this. Because anytime you speak a word from the word of God, the enemy always try to send a retaliation spirit to put pressure on your tongue to cause you to step back or to roll back the words you have released. So God said, look, I got you covered. I'm going to cover you in the shadow of my hand, because my main thing is to plant heaven through your mouth. Now, think about it. The miracle is not outside. The miracle is in your mouth. Come on now. Let's think about this. The miracle is in your mouth so you can produce the miracles with your words. John 2. Let's go there real quick. Oh, man. John 2. Satan can't stop the person who speaks faith with his words. Can't stop him. John 2, and I want you to put up, now this is when Jesus was invited to the wedding in Cana, and they wanted wine, but they had no wine. And so the mother said, Jesus' mother said, hey, they have no wine. Jesus said, hey, my time has not yet come. Now, his mother said, she using words here, unto the servants, whatsoever he say unto you, do it. And there was about 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing about 20 or 30 gallons there. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pot with water. All right? Fill the water pot with water. He releasing words now. Okay? Now, and he said unto them, now he didn't say fill it with grapes. He didn't say get some grape juice or do this. He said, no. Fill it with water. Fill it with water. Oh, man. I wrote something down here. Now watch this. And he said unto them, draw out now. Draw out now. Okay? He didn't say draw out 10 years from now. Draw out now. Why? Faith is now. Faith, now what we're seeing here is faith transforming that which is in the seen realm, pulling what is desired from the unseen. But it's done through words. Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. Now they draw it out. And look at verse 9. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, all right, the water that was made wine, and the only thing Jesus used was words. He used no equipment. Words. Words and words alone. He didn't say, let me hold the water, a bottle. Nope, words. Okay. Because the believer mouth is the miracle rod Jesus uses. The believer's mouth is the miracle rod Jesus uses. All right? That's why I said my rod and my staff comfort me. All right? Now let's go to John 12, because I want you to see something here. That John 12, and I'm going to put this together here. John 12, verse 20, Four. Okay. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground, that right there is really seed, and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. Verse 20, that's 24, right? Put that in Amplified. Let me see what happened here. Okay. Unless a grain of wheat fall into the earth and dies, it remains just one grain. It never become more, but lives by itself alone. But if it dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest. Okay? Now, I want you to put that in Message Bible. Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, okay, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. Now, I want you to put in the King James, but I want to go to verse 25. He that love his life shall lose it. He that hated life. Now, Jesus speaking of as life as a seed to produce. That's what it is, okay? Now, Jesus asked the seed. John 10. Ooh, I want to get up out this chair. Oh, Lord, Lord. But I can't. John 10, verse 17. I'm taking us somewhere with this. Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Verse 18. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment I receive from my Father. Now, let's look at this. Once Jesus released this word in the earth, nothing can hold him down. Think about it. Okay? Once Jesus released this word in the earth, the resurrection basically was already done. That's why on the cross, he gave up the ghost. They couldn't kill him. Now, let's look at this. Once you release words, all right, it become a force of life that bring you to your glorious destiny. It bring it to pass. That's the thing about this, okay? No man or human can stop you once words are released by faith. Jesus saying this, no man can take it from me. Anything that is released by faith, nothing can stop it. Now, we see this because it's important, because your word transforms everything in the seen realm once you speak it in faith. We see an example in Genesis 1:1. Everything in the earth is moved and changed and transformed by words. If words is not spoken, it's illegal for you to possess it when you spoke against it. It's illegal. Oh, God. Oh, let me get here. Genesis 1. Because you go against God's word. He said, you're going to have whatsoever you say. So you don't say it and you possessing it. It can't be covered. Whew. Genesis 1, let me just, all right, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth, they showing us, now let's just look at this. God is showing us the physical picture here of the seen realm. The earth was without form. Void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, in the Amplified, I think it say hovering. Everything remained the same when no words are spoken. Hovering. Same situation. Going in, going out. See, this is when you had to build belief, believing in your words. One of the ways of doing that, Jude 1, 20, I believe, building up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. This is key to building your belief system, praying in the Holy Ghost. Not every now and then, but every day. This is how you build your belief system. Your belief system will get you so in tune and focus on what you're saying, you're not moved by what you're seeing. You're moved by what you're saying and what's in you. Now, this is where the enemy get people off guard, because they just move by what they see all the time and not saying something to build up their belief system. To build up your belief system properly, you have to pray in the unknown tongue. Why? Because you got to constantly connect to the spirit realm. And now, I'm not talking about to the religion realm, the religious realm, but the spirit realm. Now, we see here in Genesis 1, 2, we see that the earth without form, void, and darkness was upon the very great deep. Now, this is why I want you to see darkness upon the face of the earth. Like, we can just say that right now, fear. That's fear. A person may have fear of their circumstances, fear of their situation right now. They might not have, some people are not, they probably lost their job or they're not working. They have this type of fear. And they've been saying God, you know, he to supply my need according to his riches and glory. But now they got to really believe that. They got to really speak that. Now, what happened here? Now we see the first thing God did in verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Each time God spoke, he released his faith. Now, this is the creative power to bring his words to pass. Hebrews 1 and 3, I know I'm giving you a lot of word, but you need it. If you watch me online, you need it, okay? You need it. That's why I'm running fear out of you. Who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. This whole earth, watch this, is upheld by Genesis 1. Let there be light. They're not talking about light. They're talking about glory. The glory of God. Because light didn't come in until he talked about that on down, I believe, verse 12, 13. But now let's go back to Genesis 1 and 3. And we see each time God spoke, he released his faith. So God, think about this. God wants you and our words to produce exactly what we say. That's why he said to plant heaven in the earth, Isaiah 51, 16. I'm going to have to put my words in your mouth. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. For me to plant heaven in your life, I'm going to have to put my words in your mouth so you can speak my words and not the enemy words, in other words, and what you see. You speak fear, you produce fear. You speak faith, you produce faith. You're going to produce exactly what you speak. Now, we see here, this is the key, all right? This is the key. Isaiah 51, 16 is the key, because we are called to operate in this way every time. Every time. It don't matter how you feel. It don't matter what somebody say. It don't matter what the news is saying. You, Mark 4, 35, put it up. Mark 4, 35, Jesus, I'm going to the other side. In verse 35, the same day when the evening would come, he said, let us pass over unto the other side. They going to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship that was also with him, a little ship. Then all of a sudden a storm came. Something came to force them to say something other than going to the other side. I want you to see this. A storm came. Something came to force them to say something other than going to the other side. The first thing we see here, there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship was now full. This is a picture of thoughts being drowned and trying to drown the word out of you. This is a picture of thoughts trying to drown the word out of you. How I'm going to get past this? How I'm going to move forward? How I'm going to find a job? How I'm going to do this? How, you know, I sure don't want to get sick. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. So what I'm going to do? What I'm going to do? Well, it's easy. Watch this. Because the first thing Jesus did in verse 38, they said, Master, cares that not that we're going to perish? Now, what happened? That storm caused them to shift their words. That storm caused them to shift their words. Now they're speaking death. Now they're speaking death. Now, change your circumstance, you're going to have to speak contrary to what you see. And it takes boldness to do it. Now, if you go to verse 39, he say this. He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. Now, the first thing we see, Jesus spoke against the storm. If you do not speak actively against a storm in your life, it will remain. You can't beg God to do something he put in your mouth to do. That don't make sense, because he said, I put the power of life and death in your tongue. So now whatever you speak, you control it. Adam did not in the garden. Adam did not put animals on a leash. He didn't have to. His words was the leash. Glory to God. His words was the leash. I'm telling you, whatever he say, go. If he tell them to stop, they stop. His word was the leash. They wasn't untamed. He tamed them with the word. So now, that's the thing about it. The enemy, he trying to tame you, God people and other people through fear. Where he put invisible boundaries in their mind, and they only go so far. And when that pressure get on them and that boat start getting full, the wind and the rain start beating against the ship right there. And you get full. The first thing people look at is, God, you don't care? No, God ain't got nothing to do with that. God said, I put my words in your mouth to plant the heaven. I didn't see Jesus said, Father, you don't care? Nope. He arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. Now, we see here that your words will produce exactly what you say. Okay? Now, go back to John 10:17. No man take my life. I want to show you this, John 10:17. All right? That's why they couldn't kill him. They couldn't kill Jesus. He said, no man can take my life. Watch this. Therefore do my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man take my life, but I lay it down. Can I say this? No man take my life, I plant it. Jesus said, no man can take a life, I plant it. That's why he say, if you don't plant your life, if you love your life, put that, where was that earlier? Oh, I just saw this. I think it's 12:25 is what it is. Watch this, John 12:25. He that love his life shall lose it. He that love his life shall lose it. He that hated his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now, let's go back to verse 24. Ooh. He that love his life shall lose it. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abide alone. Okay. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. Go back to verse 25. He that love his life shall lose it. If he don't plant it, it ain't going to produce nothing. That's what he's saying. Look at this. To produce many times over in your life, you're going to have to give it up. Now, let me explain that. Okay? Most people, for the most part, they have not fully submitted to the kingdom. That's why the church been operating too close to the world. And sometimes you can't tell the difference. Am I in the club or am I in the church? And as soon as God requires something, a lot of people ain't ready to plant. They ain't ready to sow their life. They ain't ready to give up the world fully. Because he said, he that hateth life in this world, what is he saying? Hate his life in the world, as in, I'm not going to go the same direction as them, even though I'm in this world, I'm really not of it. I'm operating on a different level, a different platform of things. I had a dream the other night, and I was telling my wife, she was telling me something about a dream she had, and I'm like, honey, I, and she get detailed when she tell me. I'm like, okay. And I said, that's strange, because I had a dream too. And then I only told her a little bit of it. I said, I dreamed that this car was plowing through these people and it was wrecking. I don't know if I was at a racetrack. They were racing or something. And the race ain't started yet, but yet cars are plowing through people. I can hear the bone breaking. And I'm looking up. I'm looking down because we was in church. But it seemed like they was down there. And so me and First Lady and Ray T was walking. I said, hey, let me. I was looking at something in church. And so I'm looking down like, what? Why is these cars doing that? And God said, because the world is a wreck. The church, the reason why you looking down, because the church is operating from above. And you can control that. I'm like, oh. It took me about a day to get that from God, because that thing bothers me. Now, what is that? He said, it's the world. It's out of control. He said, the reason why you can look down, because you're operating above. Therefore, you can see below. Anything below what you're operating at, you can control it. But if the devil got you always down there with them, glory to God, Jesus. You no different, people no different than the world. Nope, we operate in a different class. Now think about this, Genesis 1:26. Let's put it up. Come on. Let's get this thing. Glory to God. Because sometimes we don't recognize the power in us. Ain't nothing out in that world that is good to take with you. I always wonder why Lot's wife looked back. She knew the penalty was she going to turn. She knew the penalty. The angel said, do not look back. Straight ahead. She looked back. Too close to the world would change you. And the Bible declares she turned into a pillar of salt. Pillar, once a pillar is planted, it's hard to move. Looking at the world, missing the world, I'm missing this, I'm missing that. But Jesus said, hey, unless you plant your life, you basically ain't gonna produce nothing. So my question online, are you ready to plant your life? Are you truly ready to plant your life? Ooh, I'm thinking about Psalm 92, but I don't want to go there. Those that be planted. You can't flourish without being planted. Without making your life a seed, you cannot produce what God wants you to produce if you don't give the control up to him. Oh, yeah, we saying, Holy Spirit, I'm yours to do this and that until it's time to do it. If it's upsetting my schedule enough, now, God, now you saying I got to pray now. It's upsetting my schedule. I got something to do. I don't know why I'm on that, but I'm telling you. If you think just by being in church, the reason why you can slack off and this and that, you've been serving the wrong God. Nope. You got a connection with God. Now, especially this time, not only your prayer life and your word life should increase. We sure do have the time. So now what happened? I want to go somewhere. Okay, God said, let us make man in our image. So he is not talking about human here, because right now God have not made man body. So he is talking to man spirit. Man is three parts, spirit, soul, and he live in a body. All right. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, look at this. Now, he have given us dominion over the whole earth. He given us dominion over plagues. He given us dominion over sickness. He given us dominion. I'm telling you, we have dominion over this earth, folks. It ain't given to the devil. Psalm 150, the heavens belong to the Lord. But the earth has he given to the children of men. All right. Now, let's just think about this. Psalm 115, verse 16. The heavens and heavens are the Lord, but the earth has he given to the children of men. So now we see here that God have given the earth over to us to govern the earth. He ain't given over to the world, folks. The enemy, he think he try and play like he in charge, but he's not in charge of nothing. All right? You ain't wrestling with flesh and blood. Now, let's just look at this. So now, go back to Mark 4:38. Now, we see Jesus stopped every storm with words. Can I say this? You can stop every storm with words in your life. I'm telling you. So now what we're seeing here the last month and a half, what we have been seeing happening in the earth is that there's a realignment of the kingdom, because the kingdom is coming. I'm telling you, the kingdom is coming. And so now those who used to be slackers in praying, those who used to be slacker in building that relationship with God, those who have been slack, now there's an alignment coming in place. Where we're in this real Passover time, you know, we're in this real Passover time, where I'm thinking about the children of Israel in Exodus when they was in the Passover, and so when they put the blood over the door and everything. But I want to show you something, because something happened even when Jesus them with the Passover. I'm going to show you you're about to see a beginning of miracles. I'm going to show you this in a minute. So now watch this, okay? And you got to be ready for it too. He in the hinder part of the ship sleep on a pillow. They wake him saying, Master, care thou not that we perish? Watch this. First, he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. Now, and there was a great calm. Now, what's going on here? Everything in the earth have to obey every word spoken by faith through the word. Everything. It reshapes and it transforms situations to your advantage. Now, we understand we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We understand that. So I'm not wrestling with flesh and blood. He said, because this is a war of words here. Now, watch this. If you go to Mark 5, verse 35. Mark 5. Now, we understand the one with the issue of blood, for the Bible said, for she kept saying. Now, she wasn't saying out of unbelief. She kept saying to build up that belief system to repaint the picture, because the picture she had was a picture of sickness. And so that's why it's dangerous for you to keep hearing something and hearing something and hearing something that don't glorify this. It will begin to paint the wrong picture, and you'll start believing what you say in that particular area. So if a person keep believing something in a particular area and they say it and it come to pass, good or bad, it's because they keep hearing the wrong thing, right or wrong. It don't matter. This works the same. It works the same. You know, that's why it's dangerous to say how you feel versus what he said. And he said, why it get worse? You said it. You the one released that. Now, Watch this. And what happened a lot of time, the enemy put pressure on you to the point where you see that thing. Why? He's trying to get them words out your mouth. Because your words is a light sent in the earth for him. Now watch this. I want Mark 5:35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue house certain which said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master and the father? Outside scene realm. She's dead. That's designed to do two things. It's designed to stop the word that Jairus had said in verse 23. That's a confession, he said. It's designed to stop him. Besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray you come and lay hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. So when the center, when they came, the person that brought the bad news, Lord bless their heart, verse 35, because sometimes, you know, I hear that from people. They ain't bringing nothing good. They, right before I'm about to preach, they'll bring that, and I'm like, okay. What is that? They probably ain't doing it on purpose. They probably think they're helping, but what happened? That's the devil trying to come after my faith. I see that happen, you know. And so sometimes I don't respond. And sometimes it's best to just walk away from it. Act like you don't even hear it. How do I know that? Verse 36 in the Amplified. I follow that, what Jesus did. Overhearing but ignoring. All right. And the first thing Jesus said to the ruler, don't be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Now, we see that two things happen when that person came. It came to bring shock to them. You know, when something shocks your emotions, you just react. All right. If a person is highly emotional, the enemy always try and do something to shock them. And fear will paralyze them. And what they believe for will change. Okay? Because there are certain things you're believing for that have not came to pass. And you're thinking, ooh, I'm talking about a prophetic now. You're thinking, that's it. I might as well stop believing. I might as well stop. There's somebody watching me thinking that. I might as well stop. It ain't happened yet. Oh, I know it's not going to happen now because the economy is too bad. I know it ain't going to happen now because things have got worse in the economy. Well, dear heart, you're not living according to what happened in this economy. We have a new economy, which is the kingdom. It says, my God shall supply all your needs, not all your needs according to what the unemployment rate is, not all your need according to what's in your bank account, not all your needs according to what all these people, the economy shut down. It ain't got nothing to do with that. But according to his riches and glory, because there is no bottom to his inexhaustible supply, according to 1 Peter 1 and 4, oh, glory to God, I'm trying to, yes, yeah, got that much. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. Matthew 6, let's go there. Woo! That thing just came to me. That's why I've been saying this about Isaac, that there was a famine in the land. I've been saying it. You can't put your trust in a paycheck. I've been saying it now for years. Watch this, because everything starts standing still. You're going to watch this. Verse 19, Matthew 6, 19. I got to get over to this other part in a minute. So, lay not up for yourself treasure upon the earth. Don't put your trust in jobs. Don't put it in them bank accounts where the enemy, where moth and rust do corrupt and where thieves have access in the seen realm. Look at verse 20. But lay up for yourself treasure, the inexhaustible, that is reserved in heaven, where the enemy, the thief, cannot break through or steal, because it kept by the power of God through faith until salvation ready. I'm going to say it like this. Until your faith is released to go and get it for you. I'm telling you, you can double your salary right now in the midst of a shutdown. Good God, I wanted to say it and I said it. I'm telling you, you can double your business right now. If you got business, I don't care. You can double it right now. You on your assignment in your career, you can get your raise right now in a bonus. Ooh, that mind saying, look, I don't know, 6.6 million people ain't got a job. What that got to do with you? And somebody saying, well, Pastor, I just got laid off. What that got to do with your supply? Because the pipeline of your supply don't come through the earth. That's why you got to switch what you believe. And believing in that which is in the seen realm. Verse 21, watch this. For where your treasure is, where you're trusting, they're what you're going to follow. So all of a sudden, 6.6 million people. And I'm pretty sure some of them are believers. I'm pretty sure some of them had to go to church because they were getting, they got them a job and they were making a lot of money. Now all of a sudden, 30 days, they don't know what to do. They in the Passover. God said, okay, Martha, spirit, since you're so busy for me, Satan ain't doing something I don't know. Yes, an enemy has done this, but I'm going to use it for my good. Now you got time to reflect. Had someone call me one day, a believer. They've been struggling, and they're not a member of this church. They're just somebody I know. And they said, Pastor, they called me. Maybe this thing was good because I had time to sit down and reflect. They said, my business ain't been doing good for almost so many weeks now. And they said, I need to confess to you. I was struggling with gambling. And this and that. I said, I've been reflecting. And I'm like, what have I been doing? They said, I was making $300,000 a year. It came to nothing. I said, well, sometimes since we busy like Martha, and it's hard for us to see ourselves. A slow down and a Passover will cause you to see yourself. He said, I've been reflecting. He said, I don't know how I got off track. He said, then as I'm reflecting, I see why I got off track. And I said, okay, Sometimes I'm just listening. I ain't got to say too much. He said, Pastor, I told my wife I'm turning this thing around. I said, well, according to your faith, be it unto you. Because sometime, I'm going to say this to somebody, you get too busy, you have a lot of blind spots. You've been too busy and you have so many blind spots, and now you're reflecting, yep, that's how you lost some of that, blind spots. I don't care if you come to church. You can be too busy coming to church. And then not even listen to what the prophets say and still have blind spots. You can be too busy getting the word. Let me explain that, too busy getting the word. You'll be too busy getting the word that you got the word, but you never meditated the word, and the word never became a part of you. It became a part of this. That you can quote the word more than me, but you can't produce nothing from it because it's in here, not in there yet. And it take a while to get in there. Martha, Martha, you've been too busy. The church been Martha. I'm not talking about just this church. The church as a whole been a Martha. They've been a Martha. They running from conference to conference, running from word. They running from TV station to turn to TV station. They've been Martha trying to find a word. Instead of getting before the one who is the word. Martha, Martha. You've been too busy, Martha. Ooh, this thing is calling some things by the Spirit today. Well, we're going to change it today, Martha. You're going to get transformed into a Mary, the one who chose the good thing, the word. Now, watch this. All right. Now, Matthew 17. That right there was for somebody. I wasn't intending to go there, but guess what? The Holy Ghost took me there, and I'm going to just let you take it for what it is. And that was for some people watching online. See, I tell people, I say, listen, when I'm teaching this word of faith, especially people in here, you had to really get that CD and meditate to come up, so that thing become a part of you. Because first thing you get the word, you're going to get it in here. And you can quote the scripture more than anybody. But the production don't come until it get into the production center, your spirit. That's the production center. And that's why you have to keep listening. You have to keep hearing it. You have to keep hearing it. Because you ain't going to get it the first time. Too much in there. And then, I'm just going to go ahead and go to Matthew 17, because watch this, Matthew 17. I want you to see this, how even God, Jesus, produced just with words. Verse 24, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute, taxes, money, came to Peter and said, do not your master pay taxes? He said, yes. And when he come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Who do the king? Boy, Jesus, he's operating by the Spirit, man. He didn't even let him talk. He said, what think thou, Simon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or strangers? Watch this. Peter said unto him, of strangers, Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. Verse 27. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast thy hook and take up the fish that first come up. He is direct. He is accurate. Not the second fish, but the first fish. And when you open his mouth, you shall find a piece of money that take and give unto them for me and thee. Look at this. He only used words. He didn't even go fish. He just told Peter, you go first one you catch, just open their mouth. Our tax money is in there. Words. Release those words by faith is what he did. All right. Now, Jesus stopped a storm with his words. I didn't even finish something. I want to go back to Mark 5. I want you to see this. And I want to go to verse 39. Remember they said, don't bother Jesus any further. She dead. Jesus come into the house. He said unto them, why you make this ado and weep? Why y'all crying? She's not dead, but she sleep. Wait. Jesus is releasing words. Verse 40, watch this. And they laugh in the scorn because, you know, the enemy will try to mock your miracle. That's why you got to be bold. You don't care what they say. I don't really care what nobody say. Because I'm not going to conform to their limits. Glory to God. You do something. That's why Jesus would never accept it in his own hometown. You know, because people, they want to conform to limits. You do something that somebody had never done before. They will try and put you into the box of their own limits. They laugh under scorn. Now, the enemy is after Jesus' faith, trying to get him to back up. But when he had put them all out, because that's what you had to do to fools. Yeah, stop listening to people who ain't pulling you higher. You got to stop getting your advice from people who on the same level all the time. I'm telling you, you got to stop. Whatever you hang around, you become like. You don't believe me, hang around somebody broke. You'll start pinching. I told a guy the other day, I said, man, I can never be broke another day, ever. I'm not even concerned about it. Care what the economy say, I can never be broke. I can only increase more and more. Whatever I want, I'm gonna release my faith and I'm gonna get it. Now some people say, now wait now. Now you going too far. I'm going, you know what they, when they say you're going too far, you going outside of their boundaries. You going outside of their boundary. They trying to keep you in behind their fence. Don't fence me in, glory to God. I'm telling you. Now, y'all watch me online, you better say it. Don't fence me in. They laugh him to scorn. What they're doing, trying to put him behind that fence. We ain't never been there. You ain't going either. Instead of them asking him, now show me how to get out the fence. They want to lock everybody behind it. Put me behind your fence, you might well go get the supply because I'm going to break it down. Because I ain't standing behind nobody's fence. Amen. But when he, think about it. I was driving, me and Fraley were driving, coming to church. And in our community, we were driving by these guys, they working in someone's backyard. All right? They putting up a wall or something. And so, if the fence was locked, there's no way they can do the work. Just think about it. There's no way the transformation of that guy's backyard can happen because the fence was locked. Now, what they did, they actually tore the fence, that side of the fence down, the area, they're going to put it back up on what they are working at. And I started thinking when I was driving. I said, if there's going to be any type of transformation, you can't have no fences up if you're going to, if you, because they got to bring material back there. Some of y'all been fenced in long enough by kinfolks. Some of y'all been fenced in long enough. I'm going to tell you something. Because everybody, boy, y'all don't mind just speaking by the Holy Ghost. Y'all online don't mind. I know you don't mind. Numbers 13, 32. They brought up an evil report, and they had searched up the land, searched unto the children of Israel. Evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land which we have gone and searched, it is the land that eat up their inhabitant thereof, and all the people that we saw in them, men of great stature. Can you put up verse 33, I think. No, I want 31. But the man that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they're stronger than we. Fences. He's saying we're going to go out and get these people. We got to stay behind the fence. We don't want confrontation. We want to stay comfortable. We want to obtain everything in comfortability, with no resistance. Whew. I'm pulling, somebody pulling from the Holy Ghost on me now. I can feel it in my spirit. To remain comfortable, you will never plant yourself. Jesus, every miracle begin with your mouth, but then there's resistance. There's resistance, okay? If you ever planted anything in a garden, put the seed down, and you start planting water, and then it come up. Then all of a sudden, these weeds come up. You don't know where they come from. But that's a picture of resistance to your seed, to destroy the vegetable and the fruit on the vine. That's what it is. And so every word you speak is a seed, but as always, also resistance. All right? Now let's just look at this. If you go back, they said, we not be able to go up against these people. Come on back behind. Go back to verse 32. And they brought up an evil report. If you go now, who are they talking to? Verse 30. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess, but we were able to overcome it. Watch this. But the men that went up and said, we can't go up against these people. Get back behind this fence with us, Caleb and Joshua. What's wrong with you? We're going to limit you because we limited. Why are you reading your Bible that like that? Why are you meditating? You don't need to do that. You're just doing too much. You're so heavenly minded, you ain't no earthly good. Well, baby, you better be heavenly minded. Know where you come from. If you're going to change anything in this earth, you better be heavenly minded. I always hated that word. What they're saying, they don't understand. What they're talking about is self-righteous. But heavenly-minded, you better be. Why would you meditate the word if you want to be heavenly-minded? How you going to plant the heaven if you ain't heavenly-minded? You better get back behind this fence. Because I don't want you to see my limitations by you trying to outdo me or something. Now, that's the difference now. That's the difference between the world and the kingdom. The world compete. Kingdom dominate. Two different things. That's why Jesus said, no man can take my life. I don't compete with man. I have the power to lay it down. If I have the power to lay it down, I can pick it back up. In other words, I may start off slow, but I'm gonna finish fast. I'm telling you. I was running this morning. I don't like running in cold, but I wasn't gonna run this afternoon, so might as well suck it up. So anyway, man, it was a hard run at first. Started off, man, I'm running. Whew, I can knock out a mile in about 8 minutes. I'm like, man, it's 10 minutes. Whew. I said, okay. So I kind of, you know, spoke. I said this. Ooh, this run is easy. I spoke it out. I had my headphones on, and I said it like, ooh, this is an easy run. All right? Now, I ain't psyching myself out. I'm releasing words for my body because, you know, that cold air sometime, like, man, I don't even like running in cold. It was kind of cold. I had my gear on. I'm running. And when that thing told me how many miles of fur, how long it take, I was like, man, 10 minutes for a mile. I said, okay, whatever. Kept running. And something happened in the midst of 4 miles. I'm running up a hill, but I noticed my pace picked up. And by the time I finished, my pace was at about 9 minutes and 3 seconds running. It said, I think the miles per hour were about, I was at 11 miles. That's the thing they were measuring. I was rolling. Now, what happened? Well, somebody would probably say in the reasoning, well, your body probably warmed up. Nope. This is an easy run. The words you speak affects everything. Watch this. Now, fences. Fences is designed to restrict things from coming in and things from going out. Fences. All right. Now, if you're watching by internet, say this: don't fence me in. Now, this is why I want you to say that. There's a reason why. Man, I'm almost finished. Okay. They say I got a minute, but I'm gonna probably take two more. Now, watch this. If you look at something in the natural that you're doing. Wait, something you're doing, and you look at the natural with somebody else doing, and it seemed like they failing in it, keep looking straight. That is a fence that the enemy is trying to use to keep you in place. Because they couldn't do it. Have nothing to do with you. Remember, you are operating above. You're looking down at the wreck. So what you have to do is regulate it with your words. Now watch this. Watch this. Now, John 2. I want that. John 2. And then I'm finished after this particular thing here. We're going to do offering, and then we're going to do communion. I knew it was a heavy dose today, but that's fine. You're fine. You needed it. John 2, and I want to go to verse 3. All right. I read this before, but I want to read it again. And when they had wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servant, whatsoever he say unto you, do it. And there was about 6 water pots or stone, you know, 30 to 40 gallons, 20 to 30 gallons. All right. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pot with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw it now. All right. And bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it.
And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servant which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom.
Now, watch verse 9. That's verse 9. Now, watch this. Now, Jesus only released words. Look at verse 9 again. Water that was made wine by words. Your words can transform your circumstances. I'm going to show you this in verse 11. Verse 11. The beginning of miracle that Jesus did in Canaan. The beginning of miracle with Jesus started with the words he spoke. Now, remember when Jesus said this? I lay my life down. I had the power to pick it back up. They went and they did the Last Supper. That's what they call it, the Last Supper. That was the Passover. Now, I'm about to say it. John 21:25, he resurrected again. Now, let's see what happened. Watch this. Happened after the Passover. And there were also many other things which Jesus did, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. When Jesus rose again, that was the beginning of miracles. After the Passover, he rose. Now look at this. It was so many miracles, they couldn't contain it in the Bible. In other words, it was another level of miracles. Now, as we are celebrating, we're using this, just observing this day for his resurrection. We're about to enter into another level of miracles in our life. This one of the reasons why I wanted to do offering and communion, because I believe we even been safeguarding ourselves, even in believing. We don't want miracles out of the bound of our reasoning. I can believe just a little bit. I believe we're going to have to believe. I call it crazy believing. As you praying in an unknown tongue, it build your belief system up to the point where there are stuff that you can believe for. I'm telling you, Jesus did miracles. When he rose again, the miracles came to the point where they couldn't even contain it in the books. It was so many. And he was only on the earth after that for about 40 days. Now, I'm, you know, when he raptured the church up and talked, I'm going to ask him, like, I want to know some of these miracles. But I believe it is that mine cannot even contain those miracles. So this is what I want to do. I want to do offering first. John, I think it was John 10, John 12. I'm going to build that offering right off of John 12. What he said in verse, you're talking about a seed here. While you're preparing your offering online, you can text it in, PayPal, whatever option there's on that website or however. I want you to see. I call it the miracle seed, the resurrection seed. John 12, and I want verse 24. Now, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. All right? Now, we see here, and also John 10, why are you preparing that? Verse 18. No man take it from me, my life, but I lay it down on myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to pick it up. Now, Jesus is a seed. John 1. I'm going to show you this.
I'm going to show you this. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, the Word, and without him, not anything made. That's the Word. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. Now, let's just look at this Word. That Word was made flesh, that's Jesus, and he became that seed. But I want you to look in Luke 8, 11. Luke 8, verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word. Jesus is a seed. Now, he showed us a principle here, okay? Once my seed is planted, it is designed to bring forth much fruit, all right? Once it breaks ground, just like the enemy cannot stop Jesus from rising, oh God, where he brought forth, Christ brought forth Christians, many brethren. So shall the seed you sow will bring forth many. The things you desire, much fruit. Much fruit. Glory to God. So this is what I'm going to do while you all have your seed. I'm going to read something in Genesis. Genesis 24:60. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou our sister, the mother of thousands of millions, and let your seed possess the gates of the enemies. That the Amplified say enemies. Now, why is that? Because I believe the enemy has stolen stuff too from God's people. And it took a seed to go to a place where you can go. The seed that is released by faith will always bring in a plentiful harvest. So while we hold our seed up, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And we speak to this resurrection seed. Just as Jesus laid it down, he planted and brought forth much fruit. We release our faith. Whatever the enemy been stealing, whether it's promotion, whether it's increase, whether it's bonuses or business, whatever it is, whatever he have stolen, we release our faith in this seed that it will break forth and bring forth that which we believe for. Father, we thank you for it, that no weapon formed against this seed shall prosper. And we thank you, Lord, that we will receive just like Isaac, when he sowed in a famine, received the self same year 100-fold, and you increase him daily, but you also favor him with blessings. Now, Father, we thank you that not only is increases on the seed, but favor is on it now. That the door of supernatural favor is open now from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, get this seed here. And then we're going to do communion. This communion is very important. Because taking this is, I call it, it seals the covenant where the beginning of miracles in your life. I think sometimes we have got a little stale in our thinking. When I mean stale is that church have become so normal that we don't believe for the supernatural. And when Jesus turned water to wine, and the Bible said, then there was the beginning, basically, of these miracles. Beginning. It started. And this communion is going to be a fresh start. I need to do this before Holy Spirit just alerted me to do this real quick. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to come to him today. Not come to him in a religious manner, because that really ain't no power in that. But I want you to really surrender your heart to Jesus today. If you're watching us by internet, that's what I really believe in my heart, that God had been speaking to you. It drew you a different way. You know, we never been just online and not with the church itself, but that's fine, because now there's no distance with this. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to take a step of faith today and repeat this prayer after me. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. You know my life, and you know how I live. Father, I repent of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he was raised the third day, and he is the Son of God. Now, Jesus, come into my heart. Live your life in me and through me all the days of my life. And I receive forgiveness by faith. And I thank you, Lord, that you are even baptizing me in the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Now, if you said that prayer, you can send us a message that you giving your life to Christ. We'll send you some out if you send us your address. And so there's no distance. And so if you're not in this state, we pray that you find a local church where you can fellowship with and grow. So, all right. So this is our communion time here. And I'm proclaiming here that once we take communion today, that a lot of times we have to recommit things. And recommit things because we've been doing things until we got used to things, where we zap the power out of things. And I believe once we do communion, we're gonna see the beginning of miracles in our life. It's like that song Andre Crouch was saying, take me back. It's going to take you back when you first got born again, where things begin to just happen. It's going to take you back, you know. And so back to the cross. That's when everything began, at the cross. But it began at the cross, but it didn't end at the cross. It ended when he risen. That's when it ended. He risen. He took the keys from the devil of life. Now, he took those keys in open combat. And that's why our Jesus is our risen king. And so you have to, sometimes you have to just reflect back on that. So let's do this right here. We're going to, and you all, and you know, you can actually repeat this too. Just before we break the bread, just repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we recognize that we have a covenant with you, a covenant that was ratified by the shed blood of Jesus at Calvary. Because of the fact that Jesus' body was broken for us, that his blood was shed in our behalf,
We acknowledge that he bore sin, sickness, disease, sorrow, grief, fear, torment, unforgiveness, strife, and lack for us. And through his substitutionary sacrifice, we have complete redemption, total deliverance from the works of Satan. As new creation in Christ Jesus, we realize our freedom has been bought and paid for. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. And we give thanks for it all in Jesus' name. All right, let's do this. Father, in the name of Jesus, we examine our own hearts. We judge ourselves according to the authority of your word in areas where we have missed the mark, strife, unforgiveness, jealousy, envy, hatred, covetousness, fear, worry, and unbelief. We take Jesus as our advocate and high priest. We ask for forgiveness according to the word of God. 1 John 1:9. Your words say you are faithful and just to forgive us when we confess our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, we do not eat of the bread, nor drink of the cup unworthily. But we rightly discern the Lord's body. We receive communion together, now as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are free from the works of Satan, spirit, soul, and body. The Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's eat. After the same manner, he took the cup. We had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, and often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord death till he come. Let's drink together. Father, we give thanks for you. All you have provided for us in Christ Jesus. We confess this day. We are the blessed of the Lord. This covenant we enter into at the new birth. It's a covenant filled with the exceeding great and precious promises of God. And we are partakers of those promises now. We are healed. We are redeemed. We are delivered from the authority of darkness. We are translated into the kingdom of God, dear Son. We are the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. And we come behind in no good thing. And all that we set our hands to prosper. And we praise you, Father, for the newness of life that we now enjoy. And Father, we thank you. From this day forward, you will manifest your miracles in our lives, in our family life, in our children's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now, this right here, we have put the words in the atmosphere. Now, the only thing we got to do is believe we receive. Now, if you remember tomorrow morning, we got prayer, covenant prayer on the corporate prayer line. So if you want to join us, the number, might be posted. I think they got it up or call somebody, text them. I don't know. So, Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you for your people. We bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.